is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we're live here to introduce another new member of the News for the Soul broadcast family. The Love Crusade is the name of the show with Christina J. We're going to get to know her with our famous first question and go from there. I just want to make sure she's got on the board. We've had some weird things with the switchboard. Christina, are you there?
I'm here. I am here.
Oh, good.
Yep, great to talk to you.
And you can hear me. And I can hear you. These are all excellent things. All right, none of which were happening in the last 2 shows. Lovely. All right, good. So welcome, and let's start with our famous first question. I'll just remind everyone listening they can find your profile and bio and all that good stuff, including links on newsforthesoul.com. But we start with the famous first question and then deal the onion from there. So the reason I ask this is it's the place that connects us together as a community and movement that's now in its 25th year, and that authentic seeking that we've been doing to figure out what's really real and what's really possible. So we start with our experiences outside the 3D norm. Most of us have had them throughout our life, sometimes early in life and all throughout. Things that got our attention that didn't fit what we were told about our 3D world, and sometimes things that were life-changing or even set us on our path. So I'm curious what your earliest recollection of something like that might be, and also some of your favorites, the top 10. So wherever you'd like to start us.
Sure. I think for me, most of my moments like that started later in life. But I always had this deep knowing of that, you know, we all feel that we have a purpose. I had this deep knowing that I had a certain purpose that I had to find, and it pulled me in various directions. But my first real, I guess, noticeable out of 3D moment was when I heard my first connection to my higher self, probably like that voice speaking to you in your head when you really are trying to question if you're going crazy or if that's really your higher self or another being or something. And you usually have many of those before you start saying to yourself, am I crazy or is someone talking to me? That probably was my first one, and it happened when I had made the decision to divorce. So it was during a major crisis in my life, a time when I needed to connect to my soul, and my soul really came through, and that was the first time I noticed, like, okay, there's something else going on here. And it took me a while. It took me a long time. I think my soul kept calling me, but it took me until half my life till I actually listened.
Yes.
So
tell us about what happened.
In that moment. So for me, that moment was, let's see, I had been married for about 14 years. We had had our marriage problems, but in my soul, I just knew it was time to go. So instead of leaving and seeking a divorce and moving forward for a good year and a half to 2 years, maybe I decided to avoid the situation, and I started drinking a lot. And on this particular evening, I was hanging out in our family room late at night doing my usual drinking, and I was just exhausted. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, oh, I'm so defeated. Like, I think I have to get a divorce, but I've got nothing now. Like, I figured I'm going to lose all my financial help, you know, the beautiful home we have, all the things that we had built together in our lives. And in that moment, I kind of just surrendered. So that was the key for me. You know, all the pieces start coming together. And I surrendered. Mm-hmm. I stopped thinking because I was thinking myself to death. I really was. And when I stopped thinking, that was the moment where all of a sudden I just heard this voice say, I'm still here. And I was like, oh, and it kind of said it again, like, I'm still here. Like, you're not losing anything that you don't need. And it was this huge moment where it just, the voice didn't speak long, but what was said was so profound that it just made all the connections for me. Like, oh my goodness, like, you know, whoever this is right. Like, I am still here and I have everything I need to move forward. It doesn't matter if I lose this or lose that or what was. Like, I am still here and I'm going to be okay. So it was a huge moment for me. It changed everything. It really was the moment where I decided to get divorced and move forward with confidence. So,
wow.
That was big for me.
It often happens in a crisis moment, and surrender is often a piece of it, isn't it? I hear that a lot.
It is. And then to understand what surrender means, and it's like just quieting your voice, like stop talking, is what they say, right, all the time, just to allow space in your head for something else to, I guess, provide information to reach you. And so that was huge for me, and that was the beginning of hearing a lot of different voices, talking to my soul a lot, and then communicating with, I guess, other deities is the right word, higher beings. Just feedback and guidance in my life has been huge. It really has.
So was that your very first moment of hearing that guidance voice?
I believe so. You know, if there was another moment, it might have been when I was younger. And oh, no, I have one other moment. I'm glad you said that. Because the first moment that really threw me off was through my daughter. And she was maybe four, and I tell her this story all the time because she's a very, very in-tune soul. She's an old soul for sure. And my daughter was four. I was driving her to preschool probably, and I was a great mother. I am a great mother. I was so in love with this new baby that I had. You know, everything I did was for her, and my heart belonged to her. So I'm dropping her off, and as I'm taking her out of the car, she's walking into school. She nonchalantly turns around, looks at me, and says, "Oh, Mom, by the way, God just told me to tell you that maybe you need to love him as much as you love me." Okay, bye, Mom. And I'm standing there like my mouth wide open. It was a moment where it was such truth. It was coming out of her mouth that it really hit me. So it was an important moment as well.
Wow. So so when the guidance first came in, when you were going through that divorce and all that challenging stuff, how did it guide you through what you were experiencing? Like, did that start a cascade of communication?
Yeah, right.
What happened?
Yeah, there actually was not that much communication during the divorce. I actually, believe it or not, had reached out and found someone, and this person was intuitive, and they, I believe, gave me a lot of the guidance that was meant for me. And then later on, I realized that everything they told me I could have realized myself, but maybe I was shutting it off. So I believe I was still afraid, you know, fearful, but moving forward with courage, going through my divorce, and I still wasn't hearing everything I needed to hear. I wasn't allowing it to come in. But in retrospect, when I had actually moved into my first new home myself, it's funny because I looked around and everything in my house was spiritual. It was crazy. It was like my soul designed everything in the home, from triangles and circles and squares. And I was not a spiritual person. I mean, I listened to a lot of stuff about Jesus, and you know, I grew up Catholic, but I was not into the esoteric stuff. And my whole home was like all these symbols and all these different signs that represented different things about the universe and life. And it wasn't until after the fact, when I was sitting there one day and I had learned more myself, that I looked around and said, holy cow, everything in this house represents that type of stuff. And I had picked it out, and I didn't know why. So it was definitely my soul working through me.
Well, that's pretty cool.
That was interesting. It was.
Yeah.
It was a cool moment.
So you were guided to get intuitive counseling. What else were you guided to do?
I started writing. So, you know, COVID, of course, was a crazy time period for so many people, and it meant different things to different people. For me, it actually meant that I could write a book, because I had this idea about writing a book. I've been journaling so much through my divorce, and some of the things that I journaled, you know, actually were probably divinely downloaded, given to me, because they were such profound insights about what I felt deeply inside, what I was experiencing, taking responsibility for my life, forgiveness, like all these different areas that they were things I was going through. And so I journaled so much about all of this. And in the end, because I was also kind of helping other folks go through their own divorce. People had reached out to me because they knew that I had just gone through it. I realized that, you know, I have so much information to provide. I'm going to write a book. And the book started coming out during COVID. I wrote a book during COVID. So it was a blessing for me because I stayed in and was isolated, and it was exactly what you need to write a book. And it was downloaded because so many of the moments were so profound that I even look through the book I wrote now at the simplicity of some of the messages, but the deep old wisdom that they hold. And it was definitely all downloaded for me. And
can you give us some examples of what kind of messages you were getting?
Sure. Like, let's see. I've done a lot of reading too as well. So all the spiritual readings and teachings that I listened to during my divorce, which kept me kind of sane, were all coming through in different ways. But let's see. Like the biggest one and the one that means the most to me is just the fact that I realized it was all about me. It had nothing to do with my ex-husband. The fact that everything that I was going through was somehow a responsibility of mine and not his. I mean, that was just the underlying caveat of it all. Like, you know, this whole experience is about me. It's not about him. And that just started a cascade of different topics coming out about, you know, different ways of looking at what was going on and how I could help other people realize the parts of the situations and the feelings that they were having. Let's see. The smallest things, like your intentions matter. And I did these things, like before my divorce, I sat down, had a heart-to-heart conversation with myself. I wrote down my heart intentions and what I truly wanted to do. The intentions were not to harm my family nor myself, but to still move forward with what I knew I needed to do for myself. So moments like that, like such clarity of compassion and the feelings I was having, I was jotting all of this down, and they later became like messages of how to gracefully move through divorce, you know, with compassion and still be true to yourself. And just being true to myself. That was the big thing. And this is like it's everywhere now, choose yourself, right? But I actually had said this to myself years ago. It just came out. I said, I never realized I had to choose me. Like I was always that one who gave. I was always the peacekeeper. I was the one who was very good at maneuvering personalities and making everybody else happy, and maybe I was happy in the end. But all of that was flipping when I realized that I had to choose me. And even during my choice to divorce, I had to choose me in order to divorce. Like, I still was even choosing him. I was worried about if he would be okay. I was worried about my home, my daughter, everything but me. It's just so funny. It's just that typical narcissistic empath type of relationship. I was very codependent. And that's part of my purpose, was understanding and learning all of that, but applying it to life in general, you know?
Wow.
And then, yeah, so just these deep, I guess, human conditions is what I was learning. And I felt like I had the ability to take the human condition and kind of break it down and help people get beyond that part of them to see something bigger, to understand themselves, you know, and then to be able to evolve. And I think that's part of the gift I have and part of what I was meant to do, for sure.
So you were going through a deep inner transformation through all of this.
I was. It's incredible. And, you know how it is when people who haven't experienced an inner journey of healing and deep transformation, how it involves a lot of isolation and quietness and doing things alone and looking like you're not doing anything, but yet so much is going on, you know, and I had so much of that. And I had to fight judgments of myself and, you know, what I thought other people were thinking, coming from a community that was so, I felt, judgmental and very nitpicky. And my ex was a physician, so it's a very community that was engulfing my world. It was all about being a physician's wife and, you know, having a physician husband. And it was just, it took over everything. So the opinions were important to me, and I had to fight all of that. So it was a huge transformation. I totally broke down everything about me and had to start rebuilding it. And it was just such an analogy to what was happening in the marriage. The marriage ended, and like, you know, I say things like, oh, the castle crumbled and I had to start over. Well, that's what was happening with me. I was the one who crumbled and I had to start over. So it was so touching. It was so analogous to everything. So it was definitely meant to be. It was a necessary part of my evolution, I hate to say, but it was.
Yeah. Well, many listening can relate, of course. What kind of resources and things did you have and rely upon to pull through all that?
See, well, in the book I also write about this, that there are choices that we make. And when you're going through something stressful like this and you're fearful, and I was anxious, I was everything, you know, all over the place. My mind was wandering to the future, to the past, what I did wrong, what I did right. There are choices in how you deal with this. And for a while, I was choosing eating and drinking until it almost, I feel like, killed me. It almost killed my soul until I had that moment where my soul spoke to me. You're right. You play out all these moments that I don't realize were moments. My soul spoke to me one night, and I had to dig deep and say, okay, this is that moment. You either change what you're doing or you're going to basically destroy yourself. Like, this is it. It was like my one last chance to live again. And I did. I had to do it for my daughter, which I say she came first, because if you can't do it for yourself, you'll do it for your child. I know you will. Most of us will. So at that point, it was for her. And then later, it was for me. So first, I had to stop my drinking and eating. And to do that, I had to turn to something else. So I turned to spirituality. And that's when that big shift happened. I listened to podcasts and listened to different things on tape and read books, and I was just addicted to spirituality, which is much better than some sort of food or alcohol addiction. It's much better, trust me.
Absolutely.
Through that, and I was listening and taking in all this information, and it saved me, and I had to go to bed every night listening to meditation music because I was so anxious. Of course, counseling. I always had a counselor, and I tried two different counselors, and I must say that it's so important to switch a counselor if it's not working for you, because the first one I went to for over a year, the second one within a month, I knew I had to get divorced. So he is the one who helped me choose me. He really did. So the counselor that you have matters. If you feel like you're not making progress, you need to change your counselor. What else did I use as a resource? I started walking. I started meditating. I had never meditated before. So I started to kind of quiet my mind because my mind was racing. What else did I get into? Oh, gosh, I know there was more. Exercise is always a big part of my life. And exercise helps to release some of that anxiety. And the physical movement definitely helps.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to the original question, you know, the outside, the 3D norm experiences, did you have any more of those as you were awakening further?
You know, I did, and at first they were so odd, but then they become so normal that you start to forget them. So some of the, they start small, and I believe sometimes they start smaller so that it won't freak you out. Like, you won't say, oh, my God, I have a breakdown. Like what is reality? I'm losing it. I'm really crazy. Because I had many moments where I kept getting confirmations from the universe. Like, something would happen, I'd think something, and I'd go down the street and it was in big letters right in front of me. I remember one day I kept saying, I cannot imagine what my life would be like. I don't know what I'm doing. And I was sitting in front of a Pilates studio where I always sit, and I happened to look up and the same sign was there that's always there, and it said imagine in huge letters. And you know, that can mean anything to anybody, but to me it meant, all I have to do is imagine it. And if I can imagine it, I can do it. And that's how I read that. And that was intentional. I know it was.
Like your immediate.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that kept happening over and over again. Even when I was writing my book, I would write something, would download. And 2 days later, I would hear the exact thing on a podcast. And that still happens to me, where I'm a little bit ahead of time or pulling thoughts out of consciousness that are there, but maybe someone else has said them or someone else is also saying them or someone else wrote it, but I had no idea they wrote it because I've never read their book. And I would write something that was analogous to that or similar, And then a day later, the same exact thought would be in front of me. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, it just kept confirming that I was pulling these thoughts from consciousness and that they were real. And I was being led down this path to think this way, to go in this direction. So I still have that happen now. It's happening with the new book I'm writing. I mean, it's definitely a comfort. And when I do need validation from the universe, I feel like it comes. Because, you know, you get to a certain point where you're so comfortable and you're knowing now that you don't need it. But every once in a while, I'll say, like, okay, please tell me I'm on the right path and something will happen to confirm it. So I get a lot of that. And I have a lot of, I guess I said before, I hear things more than see things. And I believe I can't see because it frightens me. And I do believe them when it doesn't frighten me anymore, I will, you know. But I think my guides keep telling me, well, no, because that'll freak you out and we need you focused. I'm like, okay, fine.
I can totally relate to that. I told my guides they didn't want any holograms popping out around corners and, like, boundaries, people, you know. Yeah, totally get it.
Yeah, don't freak me out too much. Let me grow, but I need to continue here. What else has happened? Yeah, and just the more I read about different masters of unconditional love, you know, the different teachers, the more I integrate them into my thoughts. Like, you know, I feel like I have the downloads, the information from them. I'm very sensitive to vibration. I feel things. So I feel when an energy or a deity or something, I feel when something's next to me. I have for a long time now, and it's getting stronger and stronger to the point where sometimes I get anxious going outside. It's like too much energy. I go somewhere that I used to go all the time and I just can't take it. Like, I want to go home. Like, I want to go home and seclude myself for a little bit and empty all this energy off of me. And I'm learning how to deal with that better.
That's always a challenge to the empathic stuff. A trip to Walmart can be very disturbing unless you're grounded.
Yeah, totally. I know. It totally depends. I'm trying to think of other things that have happened. You know, like I said, I don't see much. I kind of wish I did, but I hear and feel a lot, and the feelings are profound, and the hearing's profound. And I have gotten really into crystals. My daughter would laugh and shake her head and probably say, oh, my goodness, you did not tell them about the crystals, but yes, I'm telling you. I love crystals. Crystals and I have a relationship. I have so many of them, and they all serve a different purpose, and I know intuitively which one to grab for what. And they absolutely, they clear me. They give me the energy that I need. It's incredible. So I love crystals.
And
that was
the first
new for me.
Book you were,
something I never.
I was just going to say, the first book you were referring to, that was your conscious divorce book, right?
Yes, that was the Choose Yourself. And initially, I wasn't going to call it the conscious divorce. The title was actually going to be The Courage to Choose Yourself. Which is so funny because then later on, that's all I saw everywhere was the courage to choose yourself. Like, you know, choosing yourself, I choose me.
Yeah.
So it's very trendy right now. But that was the original title. I did not do it. We did The Conscious Divorce instead. And I believe that, you know, whoever needs it will find it. That's all I can say.
Yep. I love the title.
And
I'm glad you went with that.
Yeah, really good. Good, good. Yeah, and you know, and like I said, I still refer back to some of the principles that I wrote, and I laugh at myself. I have no problem laughing at myself and my ego and my own self-sabotage sometimes and going down the same spiral, you know, the same road. And I will look back and look at some of the things I wrote and remind myself of what I'm not doing. So the book has come in handy for myself as well.
So what is the second book? Are you working on a second book?
I am working on a second book, and goes along the same lines of empowerment. The whole idea of that the only person we can ultimately control is ourselves, that we love to blame so much on other people, that ultimately our full power comes when we finally understand the truth of who we are, you know, go within, really feel that connection to source, to God, to knowing that it's part of us. Freeing ourselves from all this egoic stuff. I'm going down that road. And, you know, I'm talking a little bit about identity. identity is part of this and how we attach ourselves to so many things, which is also one of the ahas in my first book, attachment to your life and the meaning that you've placed on it, your identity, how you think it's you, but it's not really you. It's just the story you're telling yourself. So all of that's going to be in the second book, but with much more detail. I'm adding some racial, ethnic things in there, talking about my own ethnicity, my own experiences in life, because ultimately I do believe also that part of my purpose is to be a bridge. I'm both Black and Irish. My father is African-American. My mother is Irish. And to me, that's always been so normal growing up in the Northeast, around the Boston area. And it's been interesting growing up with that background and just the different experiences that it's brought me and my ability to see people. That's the one gift I've been given from this identity, is that because my identity is a little different than a lot of people's, it's almost like I have no identity. So it's like I can see beyond my identity. I can see beyond other people's identities. I think that's another gift that I have, that I've always been heart connected. And I've heard from so many different people, like, you know, thank you for seeing me, or thank you for seeing me past this, or whatever they say. But it's always been, I never realized what that meant until I was going through it myself. And I think what I've been trying to say to me my whole life, that I have the ability to see beyond the personality. I see people's pain. I understand. I very much am that empath, you know. But, yeah, and I can definitely relate to so many different people about so many different things. But the idea that I am both Black and white is going to play a big role in the new book that I'm writing as well, because I'm going to really get into that topic.
Interesting. So what kind of modalities did you train in as you started realizing you were here to help others?
I must say that I've done a lot of self work. So it's funny, because part of what happens with me is that it's like I'm in my own training school as different things come in, different downloads. And like, for instance, when I needed to stop drinking, you would think that I went to a 12-step program, but I never did. Instead, what happened is everything that belongs to the 12-step program just kept coming to me. Like, I just kept being given the information. And little by little, I was going through all the phases on my own without, you know, being in any traditional type of group or anything. I learned a lot from working with an intuitive friend who, she kind of, you know, she opened my eyes to things, and I would ask a lot of questions as she was helping me or leading me. So that definitely helped open my eyes to certain things. I actually was part of the mystery school here in Naples for a little bit. Again, a very interesting look at the esoteric part of things. And it just blows your mind. It blows your mind with energy work, and just geometric shapes, and just the energy of the world, period, the energy of the universe. Energy is such an important thing. And that's another thing that I've noticed that I have grown a talent with. And these talents keep coming in, and I keep being told that they're from previous lifetimes and ancestors, that little by little, like all of us, I think, this is kind of everyone's story, I think, once they embrace all of this, it starts coming in, that I have this, you know, gift of moving energy. I've cleared so much energy out of myself all the time. It's so easy for me now. I can pull in my own anthropic light whenever I want. I can feel, you know, energy from Gaia, and maybe a lot of people do too. I just haven't talked to a lot of people that do it all the time or easily. But for me, it comes very easily. So I see part of my purpose also in possibly vibrational healing. I've got a few different books here now about vibration. And I'm addicted to reading all of my stuff. So I'm putting myself through my own earth school, kind of. Earth school / universe school / what's reality school, all of it. I just read and read and read.
So how does it all come together as far as, like, who are you helping, and what kinds of, like, what kinds of things are they coming to you with, for help with?
You know, initially it was all the divorce stuff, and I start speaking and doing some talking around my first book, The Conscious Divorce, and I thought that was the path I was going to go down to help women in divorce. And it was short-lived because I realized in the middle of it that there was a deeper message than just divorce. It was life adversity, period. It was going how to help people handle change and how to help empower them in their lives. So I have been introduced to Instagram. My daughter would call me a grandma, a granny. I ran away from all social media for years as I was going through my divorce, and I had to reacquaint myself with all of this. So I started publishing a lot on Instagram and trying to gain a following of just positivity and inspiration on how to deal with life in general. Just very practicality is where I see my connection. There's plenty of us who know a lot and who can speak to each other, you know, about all the amazing things that we know and that happen. But I'm definitely one of the ones who was meant to help here on the ground and connect to people who have maybe no spirituality, but just want to know the practical functioning of what spirituality can do for them and how it can help empower them. It's definitely part of my mission. And I just do it with people I know. I don't have anything formal taking place right now. It has all started with my speaking, the book, and getting myself out there. So I have not done any type of formal business. I have not set up anything to actually where people pay, where I assist them in any way. So all of that is open. And frankly, just for me, even just in being divorced, you know, I kept asking God, like, do I need to get a traditional job? And again, I felt like I was being judged. You know, I have enough to support me right now, but at some point I will need to have a career. And I kept asking and asking, and all I hear is no. The answer is no, because he needs me to do these few things that he told me to do. And I'm like, okay, I'm trusting you.
But, you know, that's how
that's where I'm at.
I mean, yeah, that's how I've been following the voice that started talking to me since day one. And everyone and their dog was telling me, oh, you're not doing it right. You should be doing this, and you should have a membership. And people should pay to listen, and blah, 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 blah. And I ignored all of it because the upstairs voice was saying, nope, just do what I'm saying and just keep on trucking. And, you know, here we are in our 25th year, so meh, right? So
yeah,
keep on trusting it. Absolutely. So one thing I learned is that voice is always right. It's the one thing I can count on.
And right when you doubt it, you're like, oh, sorry. Or sorry to myself, because now I just suffered for no reason.
Yeah, well, I often doubt. I've often come along getting dragged, kicking and screaming. I haven't been all ease and grace over here, trust me. And but the only time they get upset is when I literally ignore them and do the opposite. So I've learned not to do that. That's good. Yeah.
I won't try that one then.
Yeah. Not advisable. Not fun. They stop talking and they say, okay, you drive for a while, idiot. You know, and then you cause a couple of messes and then they eventually come back. And, okay, are you listening now? So, yeah, it's fun.
I know. But it's so funny.
So you're on the right track, but it sounds a bit.
Yeah, I believe I am, you know, and that's been one of my challenges, like you're saying, is having faith. It's when that faith starts to dissipate and the fear creeps in that just messes everything up. I mean, you know, when you have the faith, you can clearly move forward and do what you're supposed to be doing with ease. And I'm one of my biggest problems. We all are, right? We are our own problem, pretty much. Like, I'm
absolutely
the only thing in the way of everything, so...
Even after 25 years of proof, you know, I mean, I don't need any more proof to know, and I still screw things up sometimes. So, you know, it's our human side. We're down here getting distracted by a bunch of, you know, fear-based stuff, and it's part of the game, right? But it's also part of what you're able to help others with, because we're all going through it. So this is a beautiful thing, and I love that you're trusting and stepping forward. What about future shows? What do you perceive doing on future shows?
You know, I'm going to walk through, again, I want it to be very And we'll see how it progresses. Part of this also is the trust. I'm having faith in how it will develop on its own, as well as my initial input. But for future shows, I see, you know, talking about how to choose yourself, what that actually means, going down this road of, you know, everyone throws out things like choose love over fear. Well, something that I've encountered is, well, what is love to somebody? You know, I don't even know that I knew what love was. You know, we love has a meaning. Everything has a meaning and a concept that we've made it. So maybe for someone, love is really screwed up. When you say choose love over fear, they're like, well, love sounds awful, you know? So my job is to break these things down. That's what I feel like, to really help get to the root of everything. Because at the root, it's really just peeling away all the layers of pain and hurt and fear to know that we've always been enough, has always been there. And people always say it, but you don't know until you start experiencing these things. And that's my goal. My goal is to walk through all the experiences that I've had, help others walk through their own, and to bit by bit peel back all of their layers with them so that they too can get to the core of, like, the connection with the universe, the connection with their higher self. They can start evolving. They can start feeling their own power. Once you start feeling that, your faith just skyrockets, you know? Yeah, and that's what I feel like my goal is. That's the journey I'm on. If it switches and changes, so be it. I've had little thoughts maybe of channeling. It keeps getting thrown around in my head. And, of course, the healing, like I talked about, the energy healing. I don't know. I think that's part of the excitement is that I am trusting, and I don't know exactly which direction it's all going to go in. But initially, you know, I want to talk about fear and love. I want to talk about empowering yourself and what that actually means. I want to talk about vibration a little bit, explain it to people. I want to talk about your identity and how our identity is such a story and, you know, break down identity. I want to get into politics a little bit. I don't know why, but again, this is what I'm being told to do. I'm being told that I will have a political role in something. And it's really about calling people out on their own stuff, meaning that we love to blame everything, even on the government. We'll blame the government before we'll take responsibility. So my job is to really help people find their own power, because we the people is us, you know. We are our own power. We just keep forgetting and we keep giving it to everybody else. And it's not a forceful thing. It's something based in love. So I want to go down all of those corridors and talk about it.
Love it. These are exciting things. So here's what's coming to me. Do you have your first book, Candy, nearby?
Say it again. My what book?
Your first book?
Yes, I have it right here.
Okay. So my upstairs team has said we need to do intuitive spontaneous reading. So I'm supposed to pick a page number, and awesome. I'm going to do that three times, and then you're going to read out the first couple of paragraphs that leap out at you. Sound fun?
Okay. Yes, it does.
All right, do it. So first number is page 8.
All right. Let's see. Oh, this is funny. So I'm trying to find page 8 because that's at page 9. So isn't this hilarious? This is a joke, right? 1, 2, 3. All right. Well, I think it must be the Serenity Prayer. That doesn't have an 8 on it, but it's before 9. So I'll go with it. But I switched it. So the Serenity Prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the people that I cannot change, the courage to change the one that I can, and the wisdom to know it's me. I think that's so profound. I love it. I love that to the core of it. You know, it's always, I love Michael Jackson, that song, The Man in the Mirror. I know it's so cheesy, but I keep saying it. Love. Yeah. Claiming responsibility. It starts with us. It starts with yourself, you know, and it can be scary to start with yourself. That's why it takes courage. It takes courage to look at you and everything that you may think that you've done wrong, and to have to deal with all of that and the pain and the mistakes and everything you don't like about yourself, but eventually you get to a place where it's everything you love about yourself. You know, you get there, but it has to start somewhere. It has to start with looking at yourself.
And that was a perfect place to start. Wow. That's very cool how this works. All right. The next number you're giving me is 14.
Okay. That's so funny. So 14 is a blank page.
Okay, what am I doing with that?
They're making fun. They're saying, I don't know. Well, want me to read 15? You want 15 or 13? Is any either one come
Let's
to you?
Let's go with 13.
Okay. Ah, this is a good one, too. This is something that I've learned, and I'm learning manifesting, you know, manifesting and creating our own reality. A brand new thought to me that, you know, happened during the divorce process that I realized. This says, so take responsibility for your thoughts, your beliefs, and your actions because you are powerful. Your choices matter and are yours to make and no one else's. Again, it's about responsibility, right? Imagine a world where we are all empowered to live our best life because we allow each other to be responsible for our own stuff, our own journey. And that's freedom. And then it says, one of the most courageous decisions you'll ever make is to finally let go of whatever is hurting your heart and soul. That's the quote that's on the page by Brigitte Nicole.
Mm, I love that.
So it's all, you know, kind of the same stuff.
It, you know, we've said for 25 years, we've said on this network, imagine if we were all doing that all at the same time, like our whole world would just bloop to a higher level.
Oh, incredible. And the funny thing is that it's a flip side, because when you take responsibility for yourself, you free other people from being responsible for you. And when you allow them to be responsible for themselves, you know, it frees you up. And then, believe it or not, people want to be responsible for themselves because it builds character, credibility, it builds confidence, you know. If you don't think you can take care of yourself, then what kind of confidence do you have? What kind of faith in yourself do you have? And I think it's about finding that trust and faith in ourselves again, which is what one of my intuitive teachers always talks about. Trust yourself, she says.
Love it. All right. They're giving me another number. It better not be a blank page again. They're messing with us today. Let's go. Let's go to... But we're figuring out the clues to where we're supposed to go. Page 33.
If it's blank, I will laugh so hard. It's not blank.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh, this is a good one, too. Okay, so this is just a quote, and it's about living authentically. And it says, loving someone else should never require abandoning ourselves in the process. Love is where we go to become more of who we are, not less. And that's Mark Groves. I just got goosebumps with that. Because it's such a bit. Yeah, it's the truth. Isn't it the core truth of everything that we're trying to figure out how to love ourselves again? We have forgotten. We forgot to be in love with ourselves again. You know, we forgot. So now it's time to remember, what does that mean? What does it look like? What does it feel like? And that's basically our greatest power, loving ourselves, or feeling our own love.
Well, look at the programming we've had since birth around relationships and what they are and how they work, and the negative examples that have been, you know, demonstrated for us as we were growing up along the way, and then the, you know, movies, and oh my God, I mean, there's so much inundation with the programming. And I've noticed that we're in a different kind of phase with relationships these days, where it's very common for a lot of people, even younger single people, but all ages, to go a long time without being able to manifest a relationship. Have you seen that trend as well?
Yeah, I'm not sure. So my daughter's 15, so she has no interest at all right now, which is fine. That's what I would expect at 15. Yeah, it could be, and it could be because they're feeling this new energy of finding yourself first. You know, they're realizing that that's the key, because if you don't know who you are, then how can you be for real with someone else? How could it ever last? And that was my big aha about marriage in general, is how could it even have lasted? You know, I'm surprised it lasted that long, because if you're not being true to yourself, if you don't even know the authenticity of yourself, how can you last with someone else? And, you know, marrying someone to complete you is the exact wrong thing to do. And to tell you the truth, one of the biggest things I used to say to myself when I got married was, we complement each other so well. He's got this strength, I have this strength. It's like we complete each other, you know? Well, no.
Yeah.
You're supposed to complete yourself, and then you enjoy the journey together, you know? And, I mean, that is a huge aha for me. And all of this has really been, and I laugh. I say, wow, I finally grew up at almost age 50. I just turned 50 this summer. And I said, because this is about spiritual maturity, you know? Adulting is spiritual maturity. Anyone can be an adult, but do you act like an adult?
Well, and an awakened adult, no less, right?
Yeah.
Which is a whole other level. But yeah, my theory is it's a bit of that, and it might be partly a biological thing, because there's the population has grown so much on the planet, you know, like inherently. Maybe we just kind of recognize we don't need as many people right now or something. I don't know what it is. But there's definitely a huge trend that I've seen over the last two decades, like just dramatically. The amount of callers that call in who have been on their own for 10 or 20 years is astounding. Yeah. So it's interesting. All right. Oh, my gosh. Okay, time. Right. I feel like I'm just chatting with a friend. I got to check in with the linear clock.
No,
7 minutes from the top. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
That's
so
good.
Let's get to our last section, and then we can do final thoughts and all of that at the end. So we want to, at the end of every show, do something called shameless self-promotion. Coming from a place of service and heart-centeredness, it is your time to shamelessly, unabashedly just let people know whatever you've got going on, any special events, any special anythings, you know, whatever you'd like to share. So this is your time.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you. I feel like I've been kind of doing that the whole show. Yes. So my book, The Conscious Divorce, 30 Principles to Help You Choose Yourself, that is the title of the book. But I must say that I promise you, besides your spouse looking at you like, are we getting a divorce, buy it together. Buy the book and look at the principles, because I have found that they are working for me all the time. Nothing to do with the divorce anymore, just in life in general. And I've had so many people tell me this and laughed to me saying my wife saw it and she was like, do I need to know something? And he said, no, I just, you know, I got this book, but look at the principles. So yeah, that's my one pitch on using the conscious divorce principles, not for divorce. The second thing I want to say is that my divorce book is about choosing yourself. But the one thing I always said in the book was you don't, because some of my friends had commented on me promoting divorce. And I said, oh, no, I don't promote divorce. I promote choosing yourself and finding your own power. That does not mean you have to get divorced. It does not, you know. I, unfortunately, was in a position where that's exactly what it meant, but that's not the case for all people. So no, I actually bless people who can stay married. I think it's a fantastic thing to go on a journey with somebody, to allow each other to evolve, accept each other in all your different versions, to grow from each other. I think it's beautiful. And if you have that person, hold on to them for sure. Yeah, the other thing, besides your show, I don't have a lot going on. My biggest focus right now is getting the second book done. And when it's done, everyone will know, trust me. And that's it. Like I said, I don't have a lot going on because God doesn't want me to. That's
yep.
The bottom line. I got to get the second book done. I've been told that, and I'm working on it.
Good. That's good. You're keeping you focused and you're following the guidance. And that's love that. Love it. So here's what we should do. We should do a couple more random readings to end the show. And
okay. They're fine.
How many pages are in the book? Just so I know what the parameters are.
Okay. The last page in the book, which is resources, is 163. It goes to about 162.
Okay. So we got to do 111.
Okay, let's look at 111.
If it's blank, I'm going to yell at my upstairs team.
It's not. And again, it's one of my favorite quotes. And it's so profound. It's going to be important in my second book as much as it's important now. It's from Abraham Hicks. It's A New Story for a New Beginning is the title of this quote that I wrote down. And it says, are there things in your life that you are that are as you want them to be? Telling that story. Are there things in your life that are not as you want them to be? Then don't tell that story. Look and speak in the direction of where you want to be, not where you are or where you were, period. And so that talks about history and the past and consciousness and conscious living and living in the present moment, and all of that is so profound. That will change your life.
Oh, well, I love that. Okay, let's do one more.
Okay.
Let's do 88, some of my favorite numbers.
All right. 88, let's see. Well, it is the golden rule, and I have it hanging up in my house, and I have to remind myself all the time, but it's the easiest way to live in love and compassion. So the golden rule is truly the most poignant, effective, and revealing principle I wrote. If only we could all make an oath to treat treat other people exactly how we would like to be treated in all circumstances, it would alleviate so much turmoil and hate in this world. In addition, the golden rule actually reveals to us how we view ourselves. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you has more of a literal translation than we may realize. How we treat others mirrors how we perceive ourselves. So with this understanding, this principle is also a window into your own perception about your own worth. It gauges how much we are loving ourselves. So each time I had a gracious or kind response in my divorce, it revealed to me the worth and self-love I still had for myself.
Oh, what a perfect note to end on. I love it.
Good. Yeah, it was. That was nice.
That was fun. And it was a perfect thing. Thank you, upstairs team. I won't be yelling at you after all. Trusting.
Maybe they thought we needed some humor, right? That's why they give us a blank page. Like, they need to laugh, though.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they definitely have a rather twisted sense of humor up there, I think. But anyway, that's a whole other show. All right. Well, this has been super great. I'm excited about the Love Crusade and looking forward to your next show already. Again, welcome to the News for the Soul family.
Thank you. I so appreciate it. I'm blessed to be here, so thanks a lot.
Yay. All right. You be well. We'll talk soon. Christina J. is all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. We are back with yet more after this short break.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
You're listening to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained since January 1997. We began our 25th year in broadcasting in January 2022, and we're just getting started, exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real and what's really possible? That is what we want to know. Join us at newsforthesoul.com. newsforthesoul.com.